Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we'd like to encourage anyone looking for help with their digital marketing to get in touch with Site Visibility. Whether you have a burning digital marketing question or you're looking for an agency to work with, we'd love to hear from you. So you can give them a call on +44 1273 733 433, or you can fill out the form at sitevisibility.co.uk contact. Alternatively, you can talk to either Scott or Sean via the live chat function on the site. They'd be happy to help. Now, today I'm joined by Riaz Kanani, founder at Radiate B2B. Riaz, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
And you're situated in a we won't say live on air where you are, but a leafy suburb of London, aren't you?
Ah, that's right. Yes, it's beautiful. I can almost see cows.
Yeah. And there's no need to ask you what the weather's doing, because I'm also in the UK, not that far from London in Brighton. It's sunny but ruddy cold still, isn't it?
Oh, I tell you what, it is freezing. We're supposed to get snow.
Yeah, we might get snow this week. It's normal, by the way. People listening from other parts of the world, it's quite normal for us to get snow at Easter in the UK. But anyway, this is not a meteorological podcast. This is a podcast about internet marketing. Just before we get into the meat and potatoes, which we'll reveal shortly, not literally meat and potatoes, but I think it's going to be account-based marketing. But anyway, just tell us a little bit about yourself and Radiate B2B. Great name, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, so I founded it a little over a year ago now. And I basically sat down with my co-founder, and we'd been talking about marketing, specifically B2B marketing. And we basically thought if we were doing B2B marketing, we would do it completely differently. Mm. Myself and my co-founder spent something like 20 years building out marketing technology platforms. We sold one of them to Silverpop and helped to build out their B2B marketing automation platform. God, it must be a decade ago now.
Yeah.
And all that automation and the sort of rise of content marketing that those platforms brought about were obviously brilliant. They were great. They transformed the way we do B2B marketing today. The challenge, though, is that now more and more companies are doing it, and as the majority are doing it, it's getting harder and harder to cut through. We spent a year talking to marketing directors across the UK and Europe, and they were all saying the same thing. They're creating more and more content marketing. It wasn't cutting through all the noise because their competitors were doing the same thing. And so they're either having to increase their reach, so spending more money on putting content in front of people, or investing in higher quality content marketing. Now, nothing wrong with investing in high quality content marketing, but if that content marketing is obviously increasing in cost, then the acquisition costs are rising. Yeah. And when that happens, you kind of want to find new ways to connect, see if there's a better, more efficient way. So anyway, a long story short, that brought us to account-based marketing. We basically looked at it, and we'd been using it ourselves. So I'm sort of the marketing side of the business, and Mike Weston, my co-founder, is the sales side. And we've been using it in the various companies we'd worked together in. And it's a very manual, it's a very manual process. It's been around for about a decade.
Yeah.
But what we realized was the work that we'd been doing at data science consultancies and the like, we basically saw that we could scale those approaches and actually make it affordable to the majority rather than the few, which is where it had been before.
Yeah.
So hence Radiate B2B. That's what we're all about, really. We're an agency today. We have technology as well. We are looking to completely change the way B2B marketers deliver their marketing. So, you know, no small claim, but that's what we want to do.
So it's interesting. So obviously B2B has been around since the dinosaurs. Well, not literally the dinosaurs, but for a while. This notion of account-based marketing, let's just go into that, because just remind us the sort of the definition of account-based marketing and why people are talking about it today.
Okay. So it's been around since the late 90s, which is an awful long time. And it's basically about marketing to a market of one. So if you are selling multi-million pound deals and, you know, on that account, you would put a marketer, a field salesperson, et cetera, and they'd be working away to try and figure out ways to get into that account, that company. And, you know, it's the great thing about it, obviously, is you can completely tailor your messaging to that individual account, which obviously is as good as you can get. It's sort of the perfect scenario for a marketer, where you have complete control on what an account, in this case, sees and hears. And of course, when you get that right, then you do get cut through. The challenge for almost everybody else in the world is that we can't afford to hire that many people for every single one of our prospects. And so it sort of stayed there as a niche marketing strategy for a long time.
So I think I would imagine then that with that sort of model, the challenge is scalability, isn't it? How do you sort of adopt a scalable account-based marketing approach, taking advantage specifically of inbound?
Yeah, so In our case, we start with looking at ways to use artificial intelligence, to use the large amounts of data that are available on the one side. And on the other side, when it comes to integrating inbound marketing into the mix, it's obviously all about content marketing and you know, bringing prospects, leads as they are then into your sphere of influence and actually then trying to persuade them that they should pick up the phone and talk to you. Mm. Now, when it comes to account-based marketing, content marketing is still absolutely critical to the mix. The way people buy B2B platforms hasn't changed at all. You know, since the internet came online, you know, 10, 20 years ago, people shifted from being very reliant on sales teams to actually doing research online, and then later on in the buying cycle, contacting the company. And that hasn't changed. Mm. But what has changed is obviously a large amount of content is now hitting those prospects, and they're all from vendors, or, you know, all for people trying to sell to you. And you know, it's hard for the recipient to actually figure out what's true, what's not true, what's right. So account-based marketing can take that content and layer in a level of personalization. Whereas before we used to see large amounts of content that they're generic, they're trying to make, you know, mud stick on the wall type stuff, where you're trying to hit every single point in this article or in this white paper in the hope that it fits with something that the reader it has a need for. But of course, with account-based marketing, we can actually go straight to the point and actually say, well, actually, we know these are the sorts of things that you're grappling with or you would benefit from. And so this is what we think you should listen to. So you can level up your inbound by and turn it into an ABM strategy by more personalizing the content and then automating it, obviously.
Yeah.
So the other side of that personalization is that similar to the insurance industry, where when you get to your point where you need to buy some insurance, you've got a list, consciously or subconsciously, of half a dozen or so companies that you want to talk to. Mm. And one of the other things that account-based marketing approaches can allow you to do is to actually say, I want this set of accounts of these companies, I'm going to put advertising only in front of those companies with each one individually tailored, so that when they see the advert, it's their problem or their benefit that they can see, and then when they come through to the landing page, it then personalizes on the fly to exactly match the messaging that was on the advert, which dramatically transforms performance of both conversion as well as acceleration of the sales funnel.
So what about the technology behind this then, Riaz? How does the technology work of sort of like presenting a sort of quite a specialized sort of marketing page to a sort of particular small group of people?
Yeah, so one of the big things that's really allowing ABM to take off is the amount of data that's available online now for marketers to take advantage of in real time. So whether it's from knowledge of IP data or whether it's cookies, when someone comes to the site, we can place a JavaScript component on that page, which when the recipient arrives, we can say, okay, we know this person is from this specific account or this type of industry, and then we can completely change the page so that it looks like it looks like it's meant for that specific account. So let's say a technology company, let's say IBM, lands on that page. If IBM was one of your named accounts that you really, it was in your top few that you want to target, it could show case studies that were similar to the problems IBM's facing, or it could address IBM directly if you really, if it made sense to do so. Mm. Likewise, if it was, one of the sort of larger group of accounts where, it doesn't warrant the investment in completely tailored accounts, you could say, well, okay, let's say it's someone from the telecoms industry. You could transform the page to be suitable to the telecoms industry, for example. And so, it just gets rid of those hurdles where someone from the telecoms industry is having to, typically go through retail orientated content, because that's often the sort of biggest sort of content for technology companies, at least, that you have to wade through to find the right content for you.
Now let's talk about sales and marketing, because I know that that's a big area that people often ask questions about, the two different activities. How do they sort of work together with sort of account-based marketing?
Sales and marketing working together has been a topic that goes back decades. And I remember when we were rolling out marketing automation in the UK, as well as around the world, one of our big things was around how marketing automation would help sales and marketing teams come together. And they did. And when those teams did come together, performance really did increase dramatically. And that to some degree is no surprise, right? You put two teams that really are working together to win business. When you align them and make them aware of what each other's doing, that's obviously going to help things. The thing that we didn't realize a decade ago with the marketing automation platforms is that what it also did was it created a metric called the MQL and the SQL, so the marketing qualified lead and the sales qualified lead, which had this wonderful effect over time as all those teams became more and more sophisticated. It had this great effect of marketers working towards the MQL and then stopping, and the sales guys picking up the MQL and turning it into an SQL, and off they went. And never the two should discuss post that point. which is complete madness. I mean, that's not the way it should be, but it's what we see happening time and time again. The beauty of account-based marketing is, in the same way as it's moving B2B marketing on another stage, actually it's moving sales and marketing alignment on another stage as well. So the sales team actually is coming in, earlier than the MQL stage, So at the beginning and saying, well, these are the accounts that we think are the sweet spot for this particular business. And marketing is obviously chiming in going, okay, so why is, you know, why is it that particular account? And starting to put together a formula of sorts that allows you to, you know, scale that list over time. Because obviously, you know, the idea here is we're going to close that list, and then how do we expand it? Mm-hmm. Then, you know, from that point on, actually right the way through to the close of the contract itself, and often beyond, actually, the sales team continues to work with marketing. So it becomes, okay, we've attracted their attention. Maybe it's through that account-based advertising programs. They're coming in, they're consuming this content. It's then all about building a relationship. And so, you know, it's not necessarily about picking up the phone and saying, you know, you're in the buying phase, let's have this conversation. It's now about building that relationship and then feeding back the results of those interactions to marketing, so marketing can adjust and adapt its marketing programs to then close the account over time. And so what you end up with is this really well-aligned sales and marketing team, and then that does deliver on the performance increases that we saw when that happens.
Now, what about timing, Riaz? I'm just thinking about companies that might be thinking of adopting an account-based approach. Is timing important? I mean, when should they be thinking about adopting sort of account-based marketing?
Yeah, so the obvious first one is when you're failing to get your message across and you're having to spend more and more on acquisition through either reach or investment in content, as I talked about right at the very beginning. But the other sort of occasions where, you know, you can really get a head start on your competition is when those industries change, you know, things like GDPR, the changing banking regulations, Brexit, of course. All those things mean that you can really connect and start having conversations with companies that an ABM approach really, really works well with. Yeah. And lastly, you know, if you're really trying to accelerate growth within existing clients and new business, I touched on it a minute ago, so ago, when I said that the marketing and sales teams work right through to close. Actually, it can go beyond close because, you know, and in fact, your existing clients are it's often an account-based approach already,
yeah.
But it's typically only handled by the relationship teams or the account teams, and actually bringing marketing in and working closely together there can dramatically improve your abilities of expanding, not just within the department that you're working in and so accelerating your products, but actually more broadly geographically or across other departments or brands.
So we've covered a lot today. What would your top tip or key takeaway be for our audience today, Riaz?
I would say that account-based marketing, what it really does is it forces you to identify your best target clients. Mm-hmm. You've got to sit down and think about where your sweet spot is. It's no longer just about pulling in any client who you know, may well pay you some revenue, but actually is taking up a ton of time inside the business and therefore costing you a lot of money. So it identifies you, your best target clients, and then it's the foundation stone for everything else across the business. So it flows from that across into sales, marketing, customer success, and even product.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. How can our listeners find out more about you and more about Radiate B2B?
There's obviously our website, so radiateb2b.com, so that's B the number 2 and B.com. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, via our social channels, so we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook and LinkedIn. You can find us on all of those just under Radiate B2B.
Fantastic. So thanks, Riaz, and thanks for listening, everyone. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/IAMPodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review, because then we can sort of know how we're doing and help more and more people. We're always open to questions and suggestions for future topics. So if you want to email us, it's podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet at Site Visibility. We also have a LinkedIn group, Site Visibility Group on LinkedIn. So that's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Riaz.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.